We are in Hebrews 11 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. As you can tell from our scripture reading, we will be looking at and talking about Moses and see the things that God has for us to consider when we look at Moses. I'd like to thank all of you for being here, for taking the time out of your life to come here, to gather together, to do the things that we know God has commanded us to do on the first day of the week. I appreciate your attendance. You're an encouragement to me, and I pray that as we go through this lesson this morning, that I will be an encouragement to you with the things that we look at and the things that we have to say. We're going to begin in verse 23, but I want to remind all of us that in verse 22, the Hebrew writer, there's a transition here. Verse 22, the writer says, "By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel, and he gave instructions concerning his bones." And so the Hebrew writer so far, in all of the reading that we've done in chapter 11, these great characters of faith, we have been in the book of Genesis. If you follow that line and watch these people that are elevated and brought up for us so that we could look at them and examine their lives, they've all been in the book of Genesis, and now we're going to transition to Exodus, and specifically Exodus chapter 2. So when we get to Hebrews 11 in verse 23, it says this, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful or a goodly child, and they were not afraid of the king's command." There's a lot happening in this one verse, as there always is in the Word of God, but I would title this verse alone, "Godly Parents" or "Godly Parenting," what God expects from parents in the world today. They are in a very, very difficult situation when Moses is going to be born, when his mother will find that she is with child. Pharaoh has made an edict that all of the children, the male children of the Hebrews, should be cast into the river. You may remember that at first Pharaoh talked to the midwives and said to them, "If a male child is born, kill it. If it's a female, it can live." And so they weren't doing that. These midwives were not doing that. Pharaoh calls them in and says, "I told you to kill the male children as soon as they were born." And they say, "Well, these women they have children so quickly that they've got their baby washed off and they're out the door before we can even figure out if it's a boy or a girl." I'm paraphrasing what they told him. But he said that they're saying to Pharaoh, "This happens so quickly, we can't even make a move. The woman, the mother, would already have the child in her arms, and we can't do anything." And we know that God was pleased with these midwives because they protected these babies' lives. So Pharaoh, knowing that this was not working, says any young male child who has been born should be thrown into the river and drowned. And so Moses is in trouble. Before he's born, he is in a lot of trouble. Look at Exodus chapter 2 with me. We'll look at Exodus 2. And before we read what's happening here, I want to set the tone and help us to understand. I've mentioned some of the things that were going on with Pharaoh. The parents of Moses are Amram and Jochebed. We see that in Numbers 26 and verse 59. Their names are not given to us in Exodus chapter 2. Amram is the father of Moses, and he's only mentioned in all of Scripture when there's a genealogy given. Never is there a character moment where we see Amram doing anything. Just his name is mentioned in genealogies. Jochebed is his mother, Numbers 26 and verse 59. Remember with me that they are slaves in Egypt. They probably live in a slave hut. There's nothing special happening in this home as far as wealth and blessings from God as we would see it. This is a typical slave family. They are both from the tribe of Levi. And I want us to remember that the tribe of Levi does not have anything to be proud of at this time. You may remember with me that so far, that the tribe of Levi has not been called out to be the priest of God. That'll happen through Moses. So at this time, the only thing Levi has to think about or to look back upon is being one of the sons of Jacob. But you may remember that Levi and Simeon were the ones who killed all the many men of the city of Hamor in Shechem because what Shechem had done to Dinah, their sister. And it's not good. They murdered all of those people. Jacob is frustrated and upset with his sons when they do this. And when Jacob dies, now this is what Amram and Jochebed have to look to as lineage. When Jacob dies, he pronounces a curse on Simeon and Levi in Genesis 49, verses 5 through 7. And so this is where they are currently today. There is nothing special happening with the tribe of Levi. There's nothing special happening with Amram and Jochebed. We want to remember that as parents today. That we're having children, or we know that children are on the way, or we have children under our care now, that we can look to these parents and we can learn some things. Hold your finger in Exodus 2. I want to go back. I gave you the wrong passage. I want to go back to Acts, where Bob read for us, Acts chapter 7. Because it helps us tie in all that we can know about this moment in time. Acts 7 and verse 17. Says that when the time of promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. Stephen says, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the promise was drawing near. Think about Amram and Jochebed. Do they know that it's time? There's no word of that. They know that Joseph told them that God will surely visit you. And when he does, carry my bones out. That's the information that they have. The timeline is not given to them other than what the Lord told Abraham about the 400 years that they would be in slavery. If they had access to that information, that may be something that they would know. Verse 18, till another king arose who did not know Joseph. This man dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they might not live. At this time, Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God. He was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. Now, when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Now, Exodus chapter 2 in verse 1. This is the story as it's recorded for us the very first time. Exodus 2 in verse 1 says, and a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. Amram and Jochebed. Now, there's some important things. I'll try to mention it again, but we know that Miriam is already an adolescent. At the very least, she's probably full grown. We know that Aaron is 3 years older than Moses, because in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 7, it tells us that Moses began to speak to Pharaoh when he was 80 years old. Aaron was 83. So we know that Aaron is 3 years old. He barely escaped this new edict from Pharaoh. Jochebed will learn that she is with child, and you put yourself in her shoes. Pharaoh has commanded that male children be put to death as soon as they are born. And if we find a little child who's been born of the Hebrews as male, he is to be thrown into the river and drowned. What would you do if you were Jochebed? We can think about her for a moment. She would be praying as she was with child. Please, Lord, please let it be a girl. I love Miriam. She's a special young lady. Give me another girl. I can't face what Pharaoh's going to do to my child. But the time comes, she will conceive, and it's not a girl. Someone will say to her, or she will see for herself, it's a baby boy. She's got another decision to make. Will she follow the command of the ruler of the nation that she's in which she's a slave? He could kill her too if he wants to. How much is at stake for her to try to save this child and try to keep this child quiet at night and through the day so that it wouldn't cry out and people would know that there's a baby in this little house? What did she do? What steps did she take to protect this child, Moses? It's interesting because everywhere we've read, there's an image given to us that she looked upon the child, or the family looked upon the child. God even looks upon this child, and he is beautiful. He is a good child. It's okay for us to think about, there's something special about this kid. It was part of her motivation. It was part of her thought process that it was laid in her arms and she looked at his face. There was something special about this child, and God put it there. You know that's true. She recognized the beauty of this child and she began to move to protect him and to save him. She builds an ark, a little bitty raft, and she covers it with pitch so that it won't sink. Mom, making this ark, weaving this thing together, crafting it so that the child would not drown in the river as was commanded, but to stay afloat. Does she know where the ark would go or where it would land? We don't know that. Maybe she knows the time in which Pharaoh's daughter would go down to bathe. Maybe it's all laid out, but the Lord doesn't tell us that. She places him into the river, and you know that she prayed fervently over her son, as Amram did as well. She lays this ark with her baby in it, and she says goodbye. She sets it by the river bank. Verse 4 of Exodus chapter 2 says, "And his sister," this is Miriam, "stood afar off to know what would be done to him." Something's placed on Miriam's heart where she wants to go keep an eye on her brother. And she's a special young lady because she's in danger too now. But she sees it in her heart and her mind to see what would be done to her brother. Verse 5, "Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maids to get it." Now, God is involved. There's the providence of God. He is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. But for some reason, she moves now while the ark is floating down the river to go bathe. You know, what did the Lord do? How did the Lord get her to know that she should go bathe? We could think about that. Maybe he did nothing. Maybe it was just time for her to bathe. But maybe she walks into the bathroom and she thinks, "I feel yucky. I smell different for some reason." And she tells her maidens, "Let's go to the river and bathe." Maybe. God is sovereign. He knows where the ark is. He knows where Moses is. And he knows who Moses is. And he knows that he will use him when he turns 80 to redeem his people. And so she moves. She goes down to the river to bathe. She calls her maids to go grab this ark. Go grab that ark. I want to see what's in that. When she opened it in verse 6, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him, and she said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." I don't know how she knew that. It could have been the way he was wrapped, or maybe the clothes. It could have even been the way the ark was prepared. There's something about him or about what he has on him that she knows that he's a Hebrew. She also knows the edict from Pharaoh. Why did she have compassion on him? This precious, beautiful child is weeping. Why do children who are 3 months old weep? They need their mother. They need the care of their mother, and it is in their instinctive nature to cry out. I want us to take note of the weeping of this child. Her father, Pharaoh, has an edict. He has a command that these children should be put to death. She should have no problem tying a rock to his leg and throwing him in the river because that's what her father wants. He's the ruler of all of the land. One human tear. In that human tear, as she looks upon this child's face, is all of the history of the nation of Israel. She is moved by this child's tears, and she says in her heart, "I am going to care for this child," knowing that he is a Hebrew. Now she's saying to her maidens, this is one of the Hebrew children, in verse 7, "Then his sister said to Pharaoh," a very brave move, "to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him." This is his mother. The daughter says, "I know someone who could serve as a wet nurse for this young boy. Should I go get her?" And she sends her. Go get her. That's a good idea. And so when mom comes back, did you read what she said? "You take care of this child, and I will pay you." This is the first welfare situation we see in the Bible where the government's going to pay her to take care of her own children. She doesn't know that. No one's really aware of all of this except for Jochebed and Jochebed's daughter, Miriam. But now Moses is placed back in her arms by the will of God. And she will nurse this child. She will wean him. And I just want to submit to you, typically and probably about to the age of 5 years old. That's about as far as we can go on the timeline before he would be returned to Pharaoh's daughter to be her son. 5 years you are given, at most, to care for this young, beautiful child. Verse 10 says the child grew. And she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." So his name Moses is given to him by Pharaoh's daughter, not by his mother. We don't know what she called him for those first years. We don't know. It's not given for us. He is always called Moses in Scripture. By faith, not Moses. By faith, Moses' parents hid their baby boy for 3 months because they saw that he was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king. They have 5 years now to watch over his life. They have permission from Pharaoh's daughter. They don't have to hide him anymore. What do you tell a young child, parents? What do you tell a young child between the ages of 0 and 5? What did they tell Moses? Well, we can gather what's already revealed in the book of Genesis. They may have talked to young Moses about marriage. Genesis chapter 2 deals with that. It is God's will. They told him about the sanctity of marriage and what that means to their God. They told young Moses about the flood. What else is in that story about the flood that young Moses would need to hear? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You have 5 years to impress your young son about these truths about our God. The entire world was wicked, Moses, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord told him to build an ark. I wonder if he made any connection with that story. God saved Noah and his family through that ark when all of the world was destroyed. Moses would be able to know about the Tower of Babel and the way that all of the languages were split apart and the way that God confused their language and they all separated it and went their different ways. He would understand that through the instruction of what Genesis tells us. That he would hear and know about God's covenant with Abraham in which he is a descendant. God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, young Moses. They would tell him about Sodom and Gomorrah and about sin and wickedness in cities that God was displeased with, that Abraham spoke on their behalf and said, if there were 10 who were righteous, would you destroy the righteous of the wicked? The judge of all the earth shall do what is right. They're going to tell him that about Abraham, his father, about the position that he took and his stand that he made for Sodom and Gomorrah, but the way God deals with sin. That fire and brimstone rained down upon those people. Young Moses, 5 years old, thinking about these things. He heard about Isaac, and Isaac being the son of promise to Abraham, and the beginning of the seed beginning to grow. Imagine a young boy trying to process all of this, and to think about what God is doing. And Moses, you're a part of it. They would tell him about Jacob and Esau, and the difficulties that the families faced there. But Jacob was renamed Israel, and Moses is a child of the nation of Israel. Moses knew about these things, and not only that, brothers and sisters, Moses wrote to us about all of these things that I've said to you. Who wrote this down? This young boy. His parents surely told him about his God, because we're going to read in just a few verses in Hebrews that he suffered the reproaches of Christ instead of enjoying the riches of Egypt. Well, he didn't just on a whim decide to go suffer. Someone told him, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Someone told this young boy about his parents, their life, and their parents, and how they got there. I want to share something else with you. I omitted one character in the book of Genesis on purpose. I think, and this is my think so, this is not said to us in the Bible anywhere. I think that Jochebed and Amram spent most of their time telling young Moses about Joseph. Man, Joseph and Moses have so much in common. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. Sold into slavery into Egypt. That's why we're here, young Moses. Because Joseph came and saved this nation and many other nations through his wisdom and how God cared for him and took care of him. When Joseph was in Egypt, Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him and encourage him to take on the morality of Egypt. Joseph never budged. He could have taken Potiphar's wife. He could have done that secretly and never been found out. He did not, Moses. He knew that God was watching him, and he said to Potiphar's wife, "Shall I commit this great sin against my master, being Potiphar, and my God?" What can Moses do with the story of Joseph? Joseph spent time in prison. And young Moses, we're slaves here in Egypt. Joseph spent time in prison in Egypt. They have not been good to us. Joseph was allowed to help Pharaoh because Pharaoh had a dream. When Joseph was put in position of prominence, Joseph, pay close attention, Joseph forgave his brothers. When he had the strength and the ability to crush them under his thumb, he said it was not meant for evil, it was meant for good by God himself. Moses is going to lead his people out of Egypt, and he's going to need some forgiveness for his brethren. There's going to be time after time after time that Moses is going to have to look to his brethren and pray for them because of their sin. Joseph, he did the same thing. This mother and father, I believe with all my heart, shared these things with their son, and they told him, "Joseph, in whom you have much in common with, promised us that God would visit us. And Moses, we think we're close." How about that? How about that? Amram and Jochebed saying to Moses, we're looking, we're watching, and we think we are close. We are under great oppression. Pharaoh's killing our children, and we are crying out to God. We think he's ready to move. Be ready, Moses. Be ready to see it when it comes, because Joseph said it would come, and his coffin lies here as a testimony to us that God has not come yet. But when he does, when he redeems his people, we will carry Joseph's tomb back to the land of promise. It's a testimony to us now, young Moses. Be watching, be aware. What a great and awesome thing that Moses sat before his parents and his sister Miriam, who knew the stories as well, and Aaron, to understand what God was doing and what God had done. I didn't want to stay in just verse 23 because that is some slow studying. But I hope you think with me about this child and the young age that he was, the instruction that surely he was given by his parents, and that this young boy, and I hope our children are listening to us, this young boy took what his parents told them about God, his promise, and his care for his people, even though they were in slavery. This young boy understood that God was going to move on his behalf. He didn't know how yet. You know that when he's 40 years old, he'll kill an Egyptian because he's mistreating one of his Hebrew brethren. He tries to take over himself, and he makes a mistake. He has to run to Jethro, his father-in-law, and he's there for another 40 years before God calls him. But it is upon his heart when he is in Egypt to disdain the riches of Egypt and to take hold of the promise of God. Why did he do that? I submit to you this morning, it's because of his godly parents. They knew the truth and they told him. Again, Moses, by faith. How does faith come to us? Faith comes to us by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're looking at a child who took hold of the truth that his parents taught him, the instruction that he received. We'll know later in our reading in Hebrews that he was wise in all of the ways of the Egyptians. He was trained and taught and brought up in the wisdom of the Egyptians. He learned all of that. And yet there's something in his heart that was implanted there at a very young age that the Lord did not forsake, but he used young Moses to save his people. Moses is the one, again, who will write all of the things that we see in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The first five books are written through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by this young baby child who at one point was crying in this little ark, and his life was pretty much over. Can God do what he says he's going to do? By the way, to our young people and to our parents, who does God use when he's ready to move? It always starts with a child. There is a child born into this life, often in great difficulty. And through the instruction and the care of loving parents, he is groomed in the truth. He or she is groomed in the truth, made to understand that which is right before God. And these are the ones who turn the world upside down. We're going to send our children to class here in a few minutes. What are they going to be? What will they be when they're 30, 40, 50 years old? Will they have taken full hold of what God has promised? Will they do their part to convince this nation that we're in serious trouble and that God gives a promise of hope and rest and eternal life and that you don't have to die in your sins? We're entrusting that to our children today. Moses was born, and God changed the course of the nation through his life and through his faithful obedience to the Word of God. We want you to come forward if you need to respond to the gospel invitation this morning. We want you to understand that as we've looked at Moses and his life, though there was great difficulty in the beginning, he did know, he did understand. He knew that he needed to decide whether he was going to suffer the reproaches of Jesus Christ for the glory that was laid for him in all of eternity, or if he would take Egypt, all of its power and all of its riches, to be consumed with great wealth and great power. He walked away from it, and he followed the Lord, and he walked out into the wilderness with a stiff-necked and rebellious people who often blamed him. God talks to us about Moses for a reason. It's not that hard for us in our lives. We don't suffer the things Moses suffered. We didn't grow up the way he did. And yet we have the same promise and the same glorious hope. If you want to take hold of that this morning, we want you to respond. If you're a member of the Lord's church and you're watching your own life and you know that you're not faithful to the truth, that you've compromised in some way, let us help you if we can. We'll do all that we can to encourage you, to pray for you, and to strengthen you so that you may be joined with God in heaven when that great and awesome day comes. If you need to come forward, do that now while together we stand and sing.